Welcome to the podcast. This episode is brought to you by Maison Beljanski, providing natural supplements for helping your body's healing and wellness, inspired by over 40 years of groundbreaking research. Good to meet you. Thanks for coming on the podcast. You're in, you live in Texas?
I'm in Texas. Yeah. Yeah. And are you in, did I see who you say?
I'm in Florida. Florida? Yeah. Jacksonville. Florida? Yeah.
Okay. Oh, very cool. I was born down in Miami area. So lived down there for 10 years. Yeah. You guys, how was the last week for you? Do you hit?
Yeah. Thankfully in Jacksonville, the hurricanes have just kind of gone right around us. I know over on the West Coast, south of Tampa, they got hit pretty hard. But Helene, the first one, Helene, did a lot more damage, like Tampa area, apparently, according to my friends who live there.
And, oh wow!
And then this next one that came through, kind of, I guess, lucky for a lot of the people in that area, it was not as far north and not as, you know, crazy as they. As they said, but definitely anyone where to hurt, you know, anyone on the beach or near the water where those hurricanes hit, it's just, you know, houses get completely flooded, completely demolished. It's just brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. My heart goes out to them for sure. And then I actually was, my wife and I were scheduled for a meditation retreat up in North Carolina.
Oh my gosh.
I think last weekend, it would have been the weekend right after Helene. So last weekend or weekend before.
Yeah.
But apparently, I mean, obviously with Asheville and Boone and all those areas.
What part of North Carolina were you going to be? Yeah, what part of North Carolina were you going to?
It's at the Art of Living Retreat Center, which is like right, it's at the top of the mountain right outside of Boone. So they're in the mountains, and so they were fine. But, you know, obviously with Boone being flooded and with the roads, needing the roads to be open and cleared, like, man, seeing videos and stuff. Cars just washing down the streets and streets totally flooded and buildings totally flooded. It's just crazy.
I've actually got family in and around the Boone area, and my wife was there that weekend and like lost radio contact. But yeah, just like you were saying, it was a massive thing going on there. That's wild though. I've never heard of that retreat center, the Art of Living. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. The founders, from India, he's a spiritual teacher.
Okay.
A lot of people call him Guru Dev. His name's Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, but incredible spiritual teacher. And he developed this pranayama and meditation technique that's like incredibly powerful. He's helped millions of people around the world with it, from prisoners to politicians. So they have like 3 and 4 day weekend retreats up there. You can learn the meditation technique.
Yeah.
And you can go deeper. We were going up for a level 2, which is like a 4 day silent retreat. And, so we had, you know, had to reschedule, that's a minor inconvenience for us compared to, but, you know, plus the center, actually they're a nonprofit and they have nonprofit outreach programs. So we donated to them to help the area, the locals in Boone there, because they send people and food and support and different things that people need in that area. So it's a beautiful center, man. It's up at the top of the mountains, just overlooking, you can see just for miles and miles, like just vast beautiful mountain ranges and incredible food. I could spend a lot of time up there.
Awesome. I'll check it out. It's a beautiful part of the country up there. That Western Carolina up in the mountains there is really spectacular.
It really is, yeah. And you go by, is it Crippen is your last name? Jeff Crippen?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you're, and yeah, tell me a little about yourself. We're rolling, so we can just get right into it. I saw your book that came out, which is Timeless Youth. Came out in 2023, right? Really about transformational wellness and holistic healing. I saw some videos you'd done in the past. You had migraines for like really bad migraines when you were younger for a couple of years. And that kind of set you down this path of holistic health, led you to become a chiropractor. Is that right?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Journey to health started probably when I was about, you know, well, my headache started when I was about 6 years old and went through traditional medicine for, better part of, 10, 15 years looking for answers, and went through traditional medical system of, start with Tylenol, and then, children's Tylenol, children's Motrin, children's Advil, then full Tylenol, then eventually pediatrician and prescription drugs. And then a couple years in, that the headaches were getting worse. So that's a potential red flag symptom, progressively worsening headaches that don't respond to pain relievers in a child. So I did a CT scan, found something in my brain, did an MRI. It turned out to be a benign, what's called a congenital arachnoid cyst, but a benign mass about the size of a dime in the back of my head. And, I remember sitting down with the neurosurgeon, and he points to this. He says, "Here's the problem." And then he says, "But we're not going to do surgery." And I remember thinking, I'd gone through 2 years of nobody could even tell me why the headaches. Finally, someone could point to something on an X-ray or, an MRI in this case, say, "Here's the problem." And then said, "But we're not going to do anything." So you feel kind of let down by that system and back to the drawing board, and did another, 8, 10 years of going to different doctors, trying to different drugs, and just trying to handle the pain. And frustration with that system is what eventually got me into studying nutrition, learning more about it, and then, eventually chiropractic school and doing what I do now.
And what do you do now? Like, are you still practicing chiropractor, or what's like your main
Yep.
focus now?
Yep. So chiropractic, we have a huge focus in nutrition. Probably about 80-85% of the practice does nutrition and chiropractic. So real focus in that area. We also, with a group called the Advanced Coaching Leadership Center. So we do a lot of personal development, spiritual development, and mindset coaching, kind of integrating that spirit, mind, body component to it, which, listening to your podcast resonates with a lot of the work you've done and interested and brought people in. But I find that just a vital component to health as well. So kind of working on the physical level with the chiropractic and the nutrition, obviously, and supporting the mental, emotional, and spiritual levels as well.
Yeah, 100%. What did you end up doing about your migraines?
Yeah, so during that journey, as I tried different things, I went into acupuncture, tried traditional Chinese medicine, did some chiropractic, which gave me some symptomatic relief from the headache. And what I really found helpful was basically rebuilding my body with whole food nutrition, basically supporting basically the key organs for my body. So basically, I started with a lot of heart support, a lot of adrenal support, and basically rebuilding the body from there. At the same time, cut out, this is about 25 years ago, but cut out all refined sugar, cut out all processed dairy. And that was the beginning of that journey. And then, added some other things since then. But that was the beginning at age 13 that I started cardiovascular, heart, stress handling system, a little bit digestion, and cutting out sugar and dairy.
Now, were your parents kind of into holistic health, or that you were on your own on this journey?
Yeah, so they were very much supported me, but they were very much not in, not on the not into holistic health. My uncle was a medical doctor, so when I had headaches, we went to the pediatrician, right? And then when that didn't work, you go back to the pediatrician, and when that doesn't work, you go see another medical doctor. And it was 7 years of the headaches getting worse and worse before I really went to someone who did chiropractic and nutrition. Tried some different things in the meantime, but really, no, I really stayed in that medical system until kind of hit that breaking point for me, which is probably 6, 7 years in of just frustration. And then even then, I would go work in the medical system and outside it, doing the nutrition and some prescription stuff. And it's probably about, 10, 12 years in before I finally said, "Hey, even at age 14, 15, 16, the idea of going to see a doctor when they couldn't tell me what the problem was, but the solution was a drug, didn't make a lot of sense to me." Right. Even then I was like, how can they know the solution if they can't even tell me what the problem is? Right. And then I'd go every 3 months and it tried these two drugs and then try these three drugs and then try this. And it kept getting worse. So I became progressively more disillusioned with that system as a way to create health. Now, at the beginning, I wasn't trying to create health. I was just trying to cover up the symptoms. Right. And that's where I started. And then that kind of launched a journey of saying, well, this isn't working, so what might work? And that got me back to what are the first principles of health? Like, what actually does it take to create health? What is this symptom of this, head pain trying to tell me? And at its worst, it lasted for 2 years. So nonstop for 2 years.
Wow.
So that, yeah, there's plenty of time to think and kind of look at the system that's, hey, it's not working. But that was kind of that was kind of my breaking point through the system, was half a decade to a decade of frustration going through that system with the headaches.
Have you heard of PEMF therapy for cancer? Well, this podcast is brought to you by Dr. Pollock, and he wants to share with you the groundbreaking research of pulsed electromagnetic field therapy in the treatment of cancer. Studies show PEMF therapy can help control the cancer process and give safe, non-toxic, and non-invasive symptom management. PEMF therapy may enhance other cancer support and treatments, lower inflammation, and promote tissue healing. Studies show it's possible to improve your general well-being and recuperate from surgery, radiation, and chemo better and more quickly. Embrace a comprehensive approach to cancer treatment with PEMF therapy, a vital tool on your path to prevention, treatment, and recovery. For caring and professional guidance and recommendations from Dr. Pollock, go to drpollock.com/intro to cancer. That's drpawluk.com/intro to cancer.
Yeah, I remember, you know, when I was 10, 11, 12, early teenage years, 13, 14, any time that I would get sick, and I got sick pretty often.
Yeah.
And often, like, I'd get strep throat a lot or sore throat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, my mom would take me to the family doctor, and, you know, nice guy, nice little family
yeah.
office, you know, and he'd check it out, get out his, you know, his light and stethoscope, and, you know, check me out, and then we'd get a prescription and leave with antibiotics, you know, go pick up the antibiotics, go home, take the antibiotics for a week and
yep.
feel better. And that was all I knew, you know. And
yeah.
then 3 months, 4 months, 5 months later, same thing. Three
yeah.
months, 4 months, 5 months later, same thing, same thing, same thing, right? Strep throat, some sickness, go to the doctor, get
yep.
the antibiotics, go home, boom. And it was like nonstop like that
through,
yeah. You know, I remember that. I remember going to that doctor's office so many times. And, you know, and then I ended up, you know, being homeless at 15, 16 and went down a really bad path, and then add alcohol and cigarettes and fast food and, you know, all this stuff on top of all the
yeah.
damage that I did from, you know, constant antibiotics. That's the thing that people don't realize, right? It's like one round of antibiotics could throw off your entire microbiome for months, potentially longer.
Yeah.
And can
yeah.
open up for a whole host of bacteria and fungus and all fungal infections and, you know, viral infections, bacteria, you know, bacteria that you don't want thriving in your gut can literally just take over, because you're killing off the bad bacteria, but you're killing off the good bacteria too. You're killing off the probiotics, the ones that you want there.
Sure.
And you
yeah.
allow for these more invasive species to really settle in and take over. And, you know, there've been studies on this that it's like the more rounds of antibiotics you have, the more likely you are, you know, directly associated with all kinds of different diseases, depression, suicidal tendencies, neurodegenerative diseases, because it just, the more we destroy the gut, the more we destroy the intestines and the microflora and the community that's there, the more we open up the body for all these problems to happen. So no wonder at 17, 18, 19, you know, I was unbelievably sick and unhealthy and unwell and had all kinds of gut issues, and took me years and years and years, you know, of working on all that stuff to be able to, you know, get my body into a much healthier state. But man, antibiotics, like, unless you're dying, in my opinion, unless you're dying, and antibiotics is the only thing that's going to save your life, right? I would steer clear, as far away from antibiotics as I personally
yeah.
could. But yet that's the number one thing. Antibiotics are prescribed for things that that it's not even directly relative to many times, which is
sure.
kind of crazy. But
sure. A classic example being the viral infection that gets a prescription for antibiotics being
right.
an example of that.
Yeah. It's like, what's an antibiotic going to do to a virus? You know, it's like,
yeah,
just take the antibiotics. It'll help.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not really what's making you feel better in 7 days. It's that your immune system kicked in and did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Your body's a self-healing, self-regulating organism with an incredible ability to heal. And yeah, it's sometimes, yeah, some, the best case scenario is it's a placebo for that. And obviously the worst case scenario is you got all the dangers coming from that when it's, you know, completely unrelated, or a type of antibiotic that may not even be specific to that type of bacterial infection, if there happens to even be one.
Yeah, and then we have these, you know, super bugs that become antibiotic resistant.
Sure.
So then they're compounding on two and three and four different kinds of antibiotics, right? It's the exact same system. If you think about it, how insane this is, look at the food system, right? So we go, all right, we've got this really aggressive, pesticide or fungicide or herbicide, for example. And we're trying to kill off all these pests, we're trying to kill off all these different weeds, right? But then those adapt. The pests adapt to that chemical, the weeds adapt to that chemical, and all of a sudden it doesn't work against it anymore, or it's less effective. So what do we do? Well, let's boost it up, or let's give it another compound joined with it. So we'll do two. We'll spray it with two different chemicals to try and kill these things now, right? That'll teach them, that'll stop them. And it works for a while. And then 3, 4, 5, 8 years later, now they adapted, right? And they're resistant to it again. And so now they put a third one or a fourth one. Now they have these cocktails. If you're buying conventional produce, as you know, right? A lot of people don't realize this. If it's not 100% certified organic, you're often buying produce that has been sprayed with many different kinds of toxic chemical, fungicides, herbicides, pesticides, to keep those things off of it. But yet you're putting all that, cocktail soup of toxic chemicals into your body every single time you eat any kind of food from the store that's not organic.
Stressing the body's ability to detoxify with this, with the body that evolutionarily was not exposed to those type of toxins or that level of toxicity, which, leads to some downstream health issues for,
Yeah,
that we're talking
major.
about.
Major ones. I mean, we're talking cancer, we're talking neurodegenerative disease, we're talking, Alzheimer's, we're talking all kinds of problems that are directly associated with, these excessive chemicals in the body, because what they're doing is they're damaging mitochondria. And anything that's damaged, and they're causing chronic inflammation. Anything that's causing inflammation and damaging mitochondria is going to damage, is going to cause a whole host of downstream effects inside the body.
Yeah, absolutely. Liver, yeah, immune organs, yeah, you could just go through the list. Absolutely.
How long did it take? What are the exact steps you took with your diet? You said, walk us through. So what were the exact steps you took with your diet, and how long did it take you to basically stop the migraines?
So first thing cut out was sugar and dairy. So this was 1999. So if I was doing this now, I probably would have added gluten and a lot of refined grains to the list, but this is 25 years ago. Cut dairy, cut refined sugar. And then I looked at the doctor's eyes, said, well, if I can't eat sugar and I can't eat dairy, what's left? Right. I was just beginning that education process of trying to understand what that was. So I was 13 years old at the time. And you asked me how much support did I have from my parents? Well, quite a bit because it was a three, I was in Michigan. The doctor was in Atlanta and I was flying down 3 to 4 times a year to see him. So I had the support financially from my parents to do that. And at the other point, my parents, I have three younger sisters, and my mom said, I'm cooking one meal for dinner. I hope you can have it. And if not, I learned how to cook. So I was learning how to, I learned how to cook, going to, health food stores 25 years ago, trying to, figure that stuff out, eating a whole bunch of stuff that, tasted roughly like cardboard, and you find a couple of good things that are decent, and kind of going through that education process. So that was the beginning of the food part of it, was just trying to cut out those major inflammatory foods. That was the beginning of it. And in addition, the other thing I was doing was supporting the body from kind of a whole food nutritional supplements. And I was going to see that doctor maybe every 3 to 4 months. And I remember the first time I went back, I was not worse, which was a huge accomplishment because for 10 years, about every month, it was worse than the previous month. If I kind of squinted right, I thought I was getting better, but it was like I'd been sick so long, I almost didn't even want to trust it, that feeling that you were getting better. But that's kind of where I was. But just the
What
fact that I
doctor
wasn't
was
getting worse,
this? This was
it was a
just a
guy.
conventional doctor, or this was
It was
now?
a chiropractor and who'd focused on nutrition.
Okay,
His
so
name
this was a
was
new doctor that you found that was helping guide
exactly.
you to make these changes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. What happened was was born in Miami, Florida, lived there for 10 years. He was in Atlanta. My grandparents were in Miami. They knew someone who was in South Carolina who had really bad headaches, who went to this doctor in Atlanta. So he was driving 3, 4 hours and basically said, and my cousin happened to be going to school in Atlanta, and the grandfather is like, big Sicilian guy, said, hey, I'm going to Atlanta Bring Jeffrey kind of thing. And that was the beginning of that journey. So this is a chiropractor with a focus on nutrition, and had some experience with headaches. So that was the beginning of that journey. Went down there every 3 to 4 months, begin to rebuild the body and started to get better. And at the end of, probably maybe 4 to 6 visits, I was much better. And at the end of 2 years, I stopped going because the headaches were enough of a non-issue anymore that I didn't think I needed to go. And I think I was definitely still in that medical mindset of there's no more symptoms, I'm okay. Right. What happened is, fortunately in some ways, but unfortunately in others, the headaches came back with a vengeance. And when it came back, they were worse than before. And then through that, I had the realization, oh, this isn't like a band-aid kind of treatment. This is like a lifestyle, a lifestyle basically solution to create health. So then I started going back to them, got more intentional about the diet, more intentional about the supplement, more intentional about learning. And then 3 to 4 years later, when I was in college, basically dropped out, looked at a whole bunch of different majors and decided, what I really want to do is help others the way this doctor and others have helped me. So I went, so I majored in Spanish, took pre-med classes, and basically went to chiropractic school. And that was the beginning of that journey. And then through chiropractic school, I did a heavy focus on nutrition during the school, in seminars, working in offices, including his office for a year and a half, and basically immersed myself in helping rebuild the body through whole food nutrition. And that was kind of led me my journey and to today, which has been I've been practicing for about the last 15 years, doing that.
Do you ever get migraines still?
So interesting, yes. Very rarely. Now I find the trigger is less physical. It's more emotional or spiritual. Like if I'm working with somebody through a real heavy trauma, through a real heavy loss, through a lot of stress or anxiety, I can empathetically feel that and that will trigger the headache. So on occasion, yes, but to the point where it's comparable to where I was before, it seems like a totally different world. Because at its worst, it was 2 years, like I said, nonstop. So the fact of occasionally getting a headache every once in a while that's not that bad is nothing like being room, closed door, lights out for 2 to 3 days and just, kind of that agonizing pain that I lived in for a while.
I've watched my mom go through those kinds of migraines for years and years. I see just takes her out, you know. I mean, she sits in her chair for a day, 2 days, right? Cold packs, ice packs, just totally out. I mean, I can see how much pain you must have gone through, you know. It looks so intense, and so painful. I mean, just totally wipes out everything, right? Your energy, your mental clarity, your focus, your physical energy, everything just is totally wiped out, yeah.
Yeah, it got to the point where, like, I mean, may sound funny to say, but even thinking made the pain worse. So, like, you don't even want to have a thought. Like it's, on a plus side, it could be almost a meditative state, but I wasn't at that point in my life there. But it's like you didn't even want to have a thought because even that would make it worse. And the bad ones would last 2, 3 days, and I'd just be in a room and, it would be an effort to drink some water, and you sure wouldn't want to go to the bathroom or get out of bed. So that was awful. But what was even worse was like the anxiety, the uncertainty of not knowing when they're going to come. It's like you feel like you're living life and you've got a little bit of like a almost like a guillotine hanging over you. Because at any given point, that headache can come and knock that out. So if you're going to school, the idea of writing a paper last minute, it's not something I could do because if that headache knocked me out for 2 to 3 days, I might never be able to write the paper or reading a book or working on an assignment. So it changed my habit patterns and behaviors around that stuff just because you have that fear and anxiety of, when it might come. And I was so sensitive to sugar and dairy that for years I didn't go out to eat, right? Just never, right? Even if it was like a friend's birthday party or stuff like that, I might go. But just that anxiety of not knowing, like if some of a birthday cake was next to me and I smelled too much sugar, that would be enough of a trigger for a headache. So there was definitely like a tremendous amount of things that just impacted the life and just kind of my life got simpler and simpler and less complex as I, stayed in a lot, really simplified what I could do, less time with friends, less time going out, even working out could make the headache worse. So there was tons of things that were sitting there and the emotional uncertainty and anxiety of not knowing when they were going to strike. which was, and feeling I wasn't in control of that was a tough thing as well.
Yeah, going back to you were talking earlier too of emotional triggers can trigger them
Yep.
sometimes now, right? Where it's the I've worked with cancer patients for the last, little over a decade, and
Yeah.
one of the things that a lot of people with cancer don't think about and doctors don't teach, because most doctors don't realize this unless you're trained in this field, is the mind-body connection and how directly related our thoughts, our emotions, our beliefs are to our physical health and well-being. A lot of great books on this subject, a lot of great science on this subject. This stems back thousands of years to ancient spiritual teachings, all the way up now to today, where we have lots of, the biology of belief, Bruce Lipton, you have the body keeps score, you have a lot of great, scientists and researchers that have looked at how our thoughts directly impact the body and can create disease in the body or help actually heal disease in the body or be a trigger for these kinds of, symptoms that come up and directly contribute to things like cancer, actually. One of the commonalities among cancer survivors, many of the ones who I've interviewed and met over the years and learned from, is the ones who seem to be the most resilient, who were able to overcome odds that were completely against them, 70 years old, told that you're never going to see your grandchildren grow up, said that, stage four cancer, there's nothing we can do, chemotherapy, radiation. They chose not to do any of that and said, no, I'm going to fight this holistically, and started meditating, an hour every morning, an hour every night. Really went to town into their spiritual practices, really got focused on healing mentally and emotionally using therapies like Evox and transpersonal psychology and, hypnotherapy and RTT and all different kinds of great therapies to help heal emotionally. And then all of a sudden, it's like they've got more energy, they feel better, plus they're eating healthier, now they're exercising, their symptoms are going down. 2, 3 years later, they're like, what cancer? There's no more cancer. And a huge part of it, and I've found this commonality among so many people, even people who didn't realize that they were doing it, that it was such a contributing factor until I asked them, was they found peace in their lives. They dropped the stressful things. They started doing things that brought them happiness and joy. They started meditating. They started having a deeper relationship with God. And all these, all the while, we kind of get stuck. I've done this where I get stuck over here on like, what's the next best supplement? What's the next best food? What's the next best thing to cut out? What's the next best, people are really focused now on biohacking. What's the next tool and device that's going to make me live to 130 or, going to remove inflammation? I've got them too. I got the red light right over there under my desk, Do I turn it on every day? No. Do I meditate every day? Yes. It's like, once you realize that, we have this God-given ability, and you as a chiropractor know this really well, right? This is chiropractic philosophy 101. It's like the body is designed with this innate healing capacity within us. All we have to do is activate it. All we have to do is get out of the way, right? And allow it to do what we were designed to do, which is heal ourselves and thrive. But we get disconnected from God. We get disconnected from our higher self. We get disconnected from our healing potential, and then we depend on everything outside of us versus realizing, oh, this is an inside job. This is something I got to take care of within me. Oh, I've got these traumas and these subconscious beliefs and these things that are limiting me and causing, these symptoms and diseases to flare up in the body. It's so amazing when you see, people get control of this and their whole life changes and their diseases go away. It's such an incredible thing.
With the cold and flu season here, it's critically important that we enhance and strengthen our immune systems. Yes, would you agree? The problem is, though, that there's so much confusion out there when it comes to what actually works for our bodies and for our health. Well, I'll tell you what I used. I used Maison Beljanski's wellness products. Maison Beljanski's products are backed by science to not only help empower the immune system, but can support detoxification and contribute to our overall health.
coming from Europe. The all-natural Belyansky formulas are now available in the United States and are recommended by top doctors everywhere. A lot of the colleagues I work with, functional medicine practitioners that work with patients with all kinds of diseases, are recommending Maison Belyansky's products to their very own patients. As a special sponsor of this podcast, Maison Belyansky has included a very special discount offer for all of my listeners. You can get 15% off your first order using the promo code Nathan, and you'll always enjoy free shipping when you order four products or more. You can grab your wellness products today at maisonbelyansky.com. That's MAISONBELJANSKI, maisonbelyansky.com, and use code Nathan for 15% off. You know, one of the most important things I've learned over the years in helping many people get and stay healthy is to help them shift their mindset into thinking of themselves as an athlete, no matter their age, whether they just walk 30 minutes a day in the mornings, for example, or they play sports for fun on the weekends, or they go to the gym a couple days a week. No matter what your activity level, if you think of yourself as an athlete, then you start to naturally take better care of your body, focus more on your nutrition, recovery, sleep, other health protocols that optimize your performance as an athlete, and in turn may help you prevent and heal against chronic diseases and help your body be the healthiest that it can possibly be. So if you want to live a long, healthy, vital life and start thinking of yourself as an athlete, head over to plantpoweredathlete.com and get the latest organic, plant-powered protein, super clean, nutrient-dense, high-quality plant-powered protein to help you live your healthiest, most vital life. And you can use our discount code PANACEA15 for 15% discount off your first order. Again, that's plantpoweredathlete.com. Get some of the plant-powered protein for yourself and start thinking of yourself as an athlete every day and see how it impacts your health for the long term. All right, let's get to the show.
Yeah, as you tell that, I think of, you know, this story you shared on a recent podcast about or that research on the Qigong masters, right? Yeah. Directing their attention and seeing cancer cells basically go through apoptosis is what I took from it. But basically lice, as they spoke. And I think of the definition of a miracle. And one of the quote I think of is one by Einstein's is problems can't be solved at the same level of thinking that created them. Right. So when we're looking at these physical issues, what seems like a miracle or unexplained on the physical level actually makes total sense if you just look a different level above. Right. And I think these spontaneous remissions that you're referencing, or that, you know, that you've interviewed the survivors of and had the experience of working with, it's like, that's the story they're telling us. Those are just signposts. And they're telling us, hey, there's something here we don't fully understand with this mechanistic world and this mechanistic view of health that we're looking at. And if we open our eyes, we have two choices. We can see these spontaneous healings, these evolutions, these opportunities for growth, and that people are getting better doing things that are medically impossible, and say that's either weird, lucky, or I have no idea what's happening, or that's a clue.
Right.
Right. That's a clue. So there's another way of looking at this, and we don't have all the pieces of the puzzle. And we've got to take a step back. There's an opportunity to take a step back and look to say, what can we learn from this? And I think the lesson is, you know, what I have on the back of the book is the number one truth in your health is you, right? And I tell the story at the beginning of that chapter of my first year of chiropractic school, we're going through a chiropractic philosophy class. And the first year of chiropractic school, in my opinion, was awful. Because in my opinion, what they trained us to be is a bad medical doctor. It was about diagnosing and treating disease, which if I wanted to do that, I wouldn't have gone to chiropractic school. I would have gone to become a medical doctor, but I didn't want to do that. But I went to chiropractic school for a specific reason, right? And the number one thing I took out of it is what you highlighted so well, which is the foundational principle of chiropractic is, like you said, a body is a self-healing, self-regulating organism. It needs no help or no interference. And what's amazing to me is how easy it is to look outside us for health, right? And that's what you're describing. When we look at the latest biohacking device, we look at the newest supplement, the magical superfood that's coming from this part of the world or that part of the world. There's a lot of validity in a lot of in many of those things. And yet, the most powerful ability to heal sits right within us. And by example, give a broccoli to a dead person and see what happens, right? Or give the miracle supplement to a dead person and see what happens. And the answer is nothing, right? And the flip side is there's incredible, stories of just using the power of mind, the power of intention, unlocking that spiritual potential to heal. One story that comes to mind is I had a patient who just a horrific injury, but about 25 years ago was gored by a Cape buffalo in Africa, right? The Cape buffalo put its horn into him, picked him up, threw him about 20 feet, almost died. It was his dog that fought off the Cape buffalo, airlifted, emergency surgery, all that stuff. Anyway, 10 years later, 20 years later, still has recurrent back pain. And they do an MRI and they say, you've got a disc issue. We need to do surgery. And it's pretty bad to point. He's in pain for 4 to 6 months, taking meds three to four times a day. Couldn't even, he lived in California, couldn't even get on an airplane without incredible effort. And so, anyway, decided to come after talking about it. But one thing he did was constantly a bunch of different things, including processing the shock, processing that motion, processing the trapped energy, trapped life force in that injury that was locked in his back. And then every day visualized his body repairing that basically extruded disc that was causing the incredible pain. So we learned in chiropractic school that it was impossible. Once a disc issue is there, it can never be healed. That was, to give you an idea of the medical philosophy in the chiropractic school I was at, or at least that one from that
Which
particular doctor.
school is that?
It was at Life University in Atlanta.
Oh, Life University. Yeah. See, they used to be a lot more traditional, right?
Vitalistic.
Yeah,
Yeah, they
but they've
still, they
gotten
had.
kind of taken over by the medical. I used to work with Dr. Timothy Gay many years ago, and
Okay.
I worked with a lot of chiropractors in
Yeah.
all over the country, and so I
Yeah.
learned kind of a lot of the ins and
Yeah.
outs of what's happening in chiropractic. And I knew even then, this was probably 13, 14 years ago, that
Yeah.
like the medical industry was really starting to take over like chiropractic schools, just like they had done, they'd kicked out the
Yeah.
to basically shut down so many of the natural colleges that were around in the early 1900s,
Yeah. Yeah.
and replaced it with pharmacology. All the
Yep.
natural therapies that we had for thousands of years was basically called, whack science. And oh, if you didn't prescribe drugs and do the pharmacology approach, and then you were a quack, right? And so
Yeah.
that's happened in chiropractic as well. I know there are some schools that have fought against that and have stayed more in the vitalistic approach, but others have really adopted more of the medical model, like you're talking about,
Yeah.
which is
And
prescribe
that's
and
what,
treat, versus treat
yeah.
symptoms versus actually
Diagnose,
root
prescribe,
cause.
treat. Yeah. And I would, so that's exactly the time frame I was at Life University between about 06 and 11, on and off, depending on whether I dropped out at that particular time or not. But yeah, and it, I think Life was more on the vitalistic side compared to some others. But still, there's a medical doctor telling me there's impossible to do, which, I had my doubts about at the time, but now I've got a follow-up MRI, and he went back to the neurosurgeon to talk about it. He goes, well, I don't know. Basically, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it kind of thing. But the patient wanted the pre and post MRI to prove he was now pain-free. He was now able to play with his kids and mountain
That's
bike and
amazing.
run and do all the stuff he wanted to do. But he credited that visualization, among other things,
Yeah.
working with, spiritual teammates or angels and looking at that locked up, trapped energy in his body, among some physical things that we did for sure. But he credits that as a big part of that story, just to highlight your point about the power of visualization, the power of having a clear intention, and the power of, using the spiritual, mental, emotional abilities we have to direct the outcome of the physical. Because ultimately, I think that's, the physical body, is the result. It's the ripples in the water. The stone that falls is what's happening on that spiritual, mental, emotional level.
100%. Well, and it's all energy, right? I mean, the
Yeah.
physical body is vibrating energy
Yeah.
at different frequencies, and so is the mind, so is our thoughts, so
Yeah.
is our emotions, so is our spirit. It's all vibrating energy, right? And in the yogic tradition, that life force energy that is
Yeah.
permeating all of us is called prana.
Prana,
And
yeah.
right? In the ancient Eastern tradition, in Chinese, traditional Chinese medicine, ancient Qigong, it's called Qi, right? Life force, or Qi in Japan, life force energy. Yeah. And that's what's permeating through all of us and through these different practices. And actually, I think through chiropractic, you know, when you're doing the adjustment, that's really what you're doing, right? Is you're opening, you're just activating the spinal column to allow that chi, that prana to flow more freely, because it gets stuck, right? Like in Qigong, they call it stuck energy. Yeah. Or in prana, or in ancient yogic tradition, the prana is basically, it's not flowing properly. And when we get our prana, our life force flowing properly, that's when you feel, you know, amazing. You feel light, you feel invigorated, you have tons of energy, you don't need caffeine, you're like, you feel amazing. And there are a lot of things that can activate that prana, the sun, right? We get energy from the sun.
Yeah.
We get prana from the food. We get energy from the food. You're eating shitty food, processed food, potato chips, your frozen food, you know, hamburgers, fast food, all that kind of stuff. There's no life force in that. There's no vitality there. It's dead. It's so, you know, it's like it's dead food. Where's the vitality? Where's the living energy that's there? No wonder, you know, 5, 10, 15 years eating like that. It doesn't have to be that long, right? You feel like crap. You've gained weight. You have low energy. Now you need tons of caffeine. And you feel terrible and you think, oh, this is how life's supposed to be. No, life's supposed to be, you feel amazing. You have vitality. You have energy. You can go out and do all kinds of things at any age. I mean, I know people in their 70s and 80s who, you know, eat, you know, primarily, you know, plant-based diet, lots of living foods, raw foods, you know, exercise, do yoga, meditation, and they have the most vitality and energy, more vitality and energy than people I know today in their 20s and 30s. It's
crazy. Absolutely.
It's crazy, right? Because I meet so many people in their 20s and 30s today who are eating highly processed food, fast food, Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, all this kind of stuff. They drink alcohol on the weekends. They, you know, they don't sleep that great. They're stressed out and they're bombarded by all these toxins. And yeah, of course you're going to feel like crap. You know, you've got no life force energy moving through you. But the other way we can do it is through, you know, that's why the studies with Qigong is so powerful, because all they're doing is looking at a petri dish with cancer cells and visualizing, like your patient, sending energy through their hands. And I believe there two or three of those studies I saw, the Qigong they were using, I believe they were using sound as well, right?
Okay.
Everything is sound. Everything in the universe is sound. There's sound waves in everything. Everything comes from sound. You know, look at the Bible, right? Even, you know, the ancient traditions talk about, you know, God said, let there be light, said, right? And there was light. Said is a sound, let there be light, right? Everything comes from a primordial sound. In ancient India, that primordial sound is Om, right? In the Christian tradition, it's Amen, right? It's everything comes back to sound, but they send the sound and the energy from their hands and then watch those cancer cells evaporate, right? Apoptosis, they die off. Yeah. That's incredible to think that with the energy from our mind and our bodies, we can kill unhealthy cells, we can destroy unhealthy cells, and on the flip side of that, we can create health in the body. This is why Reiki works, right? Reiki, you know, someone goes see a Reiki practitioner for chronic knee pain or something. The practitioner never touches the person in most cases, and yet that person can leave and their knee pain is gone.
Because
everything is energy. That's the biggest thing, I think, that our Western world is still like trying to grab onto, or we need to really understand at a deep level in our lives and teach in schools, is that everything is energy. It's not, you know, this is all an illusion, right? This physical world is an illusion. We think it's this limited physical body, and yet how do all these miracles happen with just energy, with intention, with visualization? I think that's the question, that when you ask that, you start to have these deep realizations, and it empowers you to then be able to actually do something magnificent for your own well-being.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we're on the same page here. Like one of the chapters, chapter four, I called the quantum principle, where basically I was talking about this idea. And I gave the example of, like, in a fifth grade, I was told to make a model of an atom So I took a little mini basketball and glued nickels, dimes, and pennies to it to make the atom, right? And then so basically made the atom with nickels and dimes, and I put pennies on the outside to be the electrons, right? And I bent coat wire to be the electrons, and you know, there's about 8 rings of the coat wire is a big atom. But what I learned is that model of the atom is totally false, right? That's the kind of the Niels Bohr model of the atom. What I wrote is, the truth is, if it was scaled correctly, the nickels and dimes glued together that represent the protons, the closest electron in my model shouldn't have been 2 inches away.
Right.
It should have been over a mile away.
Right.
Right. And the truth is, the atoms are 99.996% empty space, although the space isn't empty. Right. It's full of energy. And that's the point, that we have a physical body, right? I'm sitting at a table right now. We're on computers. I have a book, right? Which is in the same thing as the body. It's organs, tissues, ultimately made of atoms, just like the book, just like the table, just like the car, just like the grass outside. But those atoms, the fundamental building block of the universe, right? The comes from the Greek word, which means indivisible, only it's very divisible. Right. In fact, the individual pieces, if they're scaled to the size of nickels and dimes, the closest one would be a mile away. So this idea that we're built out of something physical, like you're saying, happens to be not true. Right. And Einstein put it like famously said, E equals MC squared, which is energy equals mass times the speed of light. But what he was saying with that is energy equals mass and mass equals energy. Right. So what seems physical, mass,
right,
is just stored energy, right? And what's actually energetic can become mass. And like, that's the transition that's happening through our body. So that, I mean, that point you're on is, I think that's, and you know, I put 5 principles in the book, but that was one of the things that I really wanted to highlight, because this, if we look at the body as something physical, we have a set of assumptions around it. But if we recognize, hey, quantum physics changed the world in the early 1920s, or sorry, in the early 1900s up until the 1920s, but quantum physics changed the world, yet we haven't incorporated much of that into medicine yet.
Right.
Right. And as we do, we hear stories like what you're sharing. We hear stories like I'm sharing, that the impossible becomes the expected or very possible when we incorporate those truths.
Oh, I love that. The impossible becomes the expected.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's so powerful.
Yeah.
Talk
yeah.
about migraines and energy. So when I first yeah. started kind of experimenting with this ability to this healing energy that we all have, I was visiting my mom. She was still up in Montana. I had been living in San Diego. This was, I don't know, this is probably in 2007, 8, 9, somewhere around there, yeah. 2009. Yeah. And I'd been learning for, I had a spiritual mentor at my time, Arturo Gaitan. Actually, I just had him on the yep. podcast, which is really cool.
Yep.
And so I was learning a lot from him, and I was spending a lot of time with Buddhists, meditating with Buddhists on the weekends. And I started experimenting with this, the ability to heal. And she, you know, I told you about her migraine. She's had them for years. Well, I was visiting her, and she started to have a migraine come on, and she goes, oh no, it's coming on, right? And I'm sure you, hopefully that doesn't trigger yeah. any bad
yeah,
memories.
Yeah. No, I'm good, but I know the feeling. Yeah.
I've seen it come, you know, I've seen it come on with her. She knows, right? It's like, you know, when it's coming, it's like starting to come. And she goes, you know, immediately to go for the, whatever the pharmaceutical drug she had at the time.
Yeah.
And I said, wait, sit down. Let me try something. She's like, no, I got to take this now. I was like, just sit down. Let me try something.
Yeah.
And I had so much confidence at that time.
Yeah.
You know, it was the faith, like Jesus in the Bible talks mm-hmm. about, you know, it's your faith that healed you, right? It's,
yeah.
He even says, it's not me. It's your faith in me that is what healed you.
If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, then you can do anything you see me do. Yeah.
So powerful. And so I just like, I had pure faith. I was like, oh, I'm going to make this thing go away. So I sat her down. I just put my hands, I didn't have any training in this, put my hands on the back of her head. And I just kind of followed my intuition, right? And I just was like visualizing, sending her just light, right? Just visualizing, sending her light and healing energy and seeing her feeling good. And, you know, whatever darkness was there, kind of taking it away. There's a great thing I do all the time now, which is a different kind of healing technique I learned over the years, which is you can receive like a black energy from people into your heart space and then send mm-hmm. back, you know, like it basically transmutates it, right?
Yeah.
Into, I get different colors based on, I'm like, what color do they need? And oh, green or orange or yellow or whatever. And just, it's like this, I'm not taking on that energy. My heart space is transmuting it. I didn't have that technique at that time. I was just using my hands. And I don't know, a minute, 2 minutes went by. And then I was like, I was done. I was like, okay. It's like, how do you feel? She stood up and she was like, what'd you do? What just happened?
Yeah.
She was like freaked out. She didn't know what to do or what to think or anything. And she was like, she was so kind of weirded out. She's like, I'm going to go mow the lawn. And she like, I started mowing the lawn. And I just was cracking up. I was like, okay.
This stuff outside really her
works.
Reality.
This stuff really works, you know? But again, that didn't take away her migraines forever. It was a symptom relief situation in that moment. But had I continued working with her like that, had she continued developing that within herself, those migraines could have been gone forever.
Well, two things. Yeah, she could have learned the pattern from you to handle it when it comes up. And in addition, there's a matrix each of us are in that creates some of these situations. And sometimes if we don't change that matrix, that environment, then we'll constantly recreate the same issues. Mm. So then that's another layer of working on it there. But it's powerful. Like when you have someone that's got a headache or got high blood pressure or has knee pain or has a shoulder issue or has a pain in their back, and you can work with them on that and it be gone within seconds to minutes, that is, again, it's another one of those signs. That's a tap on the shoulder from God, from the universe, from, you know, the angels out there, from the beings who are trying to help us have more health on this planet. That's a tap on the shoulder to say, hey, there's something here. I remember I had two experiences personally that kind of helped me get into this. One was I was working with a cancer doctor who came up from Mexico, and he happened to be in town traveling through in Texas, and he called me up for an adjustment. So I gave him an adjustment. And then I started to get sick and I started to get nauseous. And anyway, like I stopped urinating. Like I was not really able to make urine, which was like, and I was nauseous and I didn't eat for about 4 or 5 days. I had maybe like one meal every 2 or 3 days. And I was like not urinating no matter how much water I drank. And it was just like a really uncomfortable feeling. I was like, manifesting the symptoms of kidney failure. I feel like I'm in pretty good health. So this isn't going, you know, I don't think I have kidney failure, but you know, when you don't urinate, you're nauseous and you're not eating, that's not particularly good signs. Right. And I'm just trying to figure out where's this coming from? What's going on? What's happening? And anyway, couldn't really figure it out. He called me to come back for an appointment about a week later and he came into the office and I'm working on him again. And we just start talking. I said, you know, basically, I don't know how it came up, but it was something like, oh, by the way, who are you taking care of? And he says, oh, I'm taking care of a woman with kidney cancer.
Mm.
I said, huh. Just like that, that pattern that I'd unconsciously picked up, released, you know, and within minutes to hours, the appetite returned, the kidneys were working fine. And I felt fine again. And it wasn't so much about the weakest symptoms or how quickly I recovered. It was just the speed, but it was really just about how quickly I recovered and how quickly the symptoms came on and left. And I said, whatever happened there wasn't physical, right? That happened on an emotional, spiritual level. And then I had a couple other experiences around that, which kind of launched me in that journey myself to try to figure out what the heck is going on. And, you know, I can tell you the other one or not, but it was around training for a marathon and some knee pain. And it was just, you know, those wild experiences that say, there's something else happening here. And you know, there's one of those incidents that happen and then it takes you 2 years or 10 years or a lifetime to figure out what the heck is going on, kind of thing.
What actually happened there? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the knee pain marathon?
So I got interested in Plato. So I bought the complete works of Plato, which happened to be 2,400 pages of like everything he wrote and a bunch of stuff they think he may have wrote, but weren't sure. So anyway, I got ambitious and I started reading this and I'm 300 pages into this thing. And my dad was been trying to qualify for the Boston Marathon. He's run about 5 or 6 marathons, has never qualified over 15 years. So I said, you know what, let me try to pace you. I'll see if I can help you. So I go out and I run 13 miles one day, and it's like, okay, this without much training. I said, okay, if I can run 13 with a little training, I can get to 26. So I decided to start training, and like the second run in, I just developed this knee pain, and I'm like trying to diagnose myself. Like, I've never torn an ACL or an MCL. It was actually like a lateral pain. It's like, I've never had an instability in the collateral ligaments of the knee. And, I'm trying to diagnose it. It's just a shooting pain. And anyway, I pushed through it for about a quarter mile and then a half mile. Then I walk, then I start running again. Anyway, I'm 2 miles in and I'm like barely able to walk home. And I'm in just some back roads in Texas. So it's like, there wasn't a car come by and there was no Uber. My cell phone was dying, of course, as it would be in a situation like this. So anyway, I hobble home and I just like, anyway, I try to go for runs probably over the, half a dozen times to a dozen times over the next 4 to 5 months. And the knee pain is there every time. And I see a chiropractor. I worked on some nutrition. I was, basically did some massage on it. I did what I knew to do in a bunch of different ways, and nothing is helping this knee pain. And I can't figure what the heck is going on. And finally, someone I work with, they said, have you ever thought about looking at it from a like an emotional or spiritual perspective? And I said, not really, but eventually 6 months in, it was like a year-long training program. For the first 6 months, I hadn't been able to train. So I was desperate at this point. So I said, sure. And what came to me was this image of being in ancient Greece and running and falling into a hole and twisting my knee and not being able to walk. And I spent a couple hours processing through that and the emotion and the incident. And the next day I ran 5 miles
Wow.
and then did a
That's
couple
crazy.
more runs. Yeah. And not really trusting it, and did a couple more runs. And then about 2 months later, I felt a similar pain come back, not quite the same. So I did the same thing, went through it, and I had this image of just somebody just like beating me with a club in the outside of my knee while I was kind of like my hands were in bondage or in somehow basically imprisoned or something like that, and just whacking on my knee. Just excruciating pain. So anyway, went through the same thing with that and ran the marathon, no problem, and never had knee pain since. But there
Wow.
was that, and it was the experience with the cancer, and then obviously working with patients that same way, that was just like, hey, there's another level to this.
So with the when you had those visions of what some people might, consider like a past life
Sure,
experience,
yeah.
right? Or whatever that emotional connection is
Yeah.
that you had there, whether it was this life or past life or something else that happened in
Yeah.
this life or something you took on, whatever.
Yeah.
But like, what were you doing to be able to get those visions? Like, what were you just kind of thinking on it, meditating on it? Did you do a specific process? Like, what were you doing?
Yeah, so the process they took us through was something called we call like a holographic incident process, where you're going through reliving, re-experiencing the experience and talking to someone as you do with what comes up. And the key that I found for myself and working with others through that is finding it's the pieces you don't want to feel. It's the part of it you're resisting, that you don't want to permeate, that you don't want to duplicate, that you don't want to feel. And was just going through the incident. And each time I'd go through it, a little bit more would come to view, and a little bit more would come to view, and a little bit more would come to view. And then, what I used as a sign that I got all of it was the knee pain went away. Right. Obviously, as I go
Right.
through this, you feel lighter and you feel some different moods and emotions going through that. But I had something very physical that was kind of my barometer of, am I finding truth in this area or not? Because it was hard to explain how I had knee pain and couldn't run more than 100 yards for 6 months. Then all of a sudden it was 5 miles the next day or within hours. So that was the process I was going through. But the key is looking for those stuck moods, stuck motions, the things I didn't want to experience. And what I, looking back, trying to connect the dots is this all started right when I was reading the complete works of Plato. So that triggered something from, and that image I saw falling into a hole, the person looked like they were dressed in, what I consider a toga, or what my idea of, traditional dress of ancient Greece might have been. So that's the connection, is that reading that book triggered something, whether it was a past life or some memories or some connections to that, that moved the pain in. And then just being able to duplicate it, permeate it, fully experience it, helped release it out.
What did you call that process? Holographic what?
Yeah, holographic incident handling is what we call it. but basically just
handling. Yeah.
Yeah. The idea is
sounds going like a fancy word for past life regression therapy.
Yeah. I'm familiar with the idea of past life regression therapy, and I've read about it. I haven't gone through it personally, but I've used this process to go through that. I've connected to some pieces on past lives. So I think there's some very similar elements to it, but the idea is you're going through it and you're experiencing not just the mental idea of what's happening, but really the moods, the emotions, the spiritual elements of it as well.
Is there people like, I just looked it up, I don't see much on it. Is there like people who teach this?
So one of the things we do is we help train coaches. So we do some training on it. So yes, there's some people that teach it, and we host
Do this through your practice?
I have my own practice, and then I work with the Coaching and Leadership Training Center. So Advanced Coaching and Leadership Training Center, which is, you know, ACLC.us. So that's who I work with on the coaching side. My practice is maybe 6 miles away. So it's very much connected to it. So that's who we work. And we basically train coaches in the US and abroad on how to do some of this. And it's not all focused on health. It's very much focused on identifying where your life force is stuck, if it is, and how to direct it positively towards your goals, dreams, and aspirations. And what the difference is, you know, some forms of therapy are very much about what's wrong that's happened in your life. It's about clearing out the debris, which can be useful and very helpful for some people. This is very much focused on, rather than clearing the field, let's focus on the vision of the house you want to build. And then we'll clear the land necessary, but we're going to focus more of our attention on building the house. The stuff that comes up that we need to clear, we'll clear it, but it's very much focused on putting the positive there around what you want in the area of health, nutrition, finances, business, things like that.
Yeah, that's really cool. ACLC.us. I was just looking at the website. I'll show it for people here who are watching this on YouTube. So what you're talking about is like coaching. You work with clients who are not coaches, or only work with coaches?
Nope, we work with both. So I'll have some one-on-one clients. We've got a team of coaches here. We'll work with some one-on-one clients, and then we also train coaches. So we
coaches
do two things.
Just in your methods, or like coaches to like?
We have people who use this in a variety of different ways. People who use this who are speakers, who are writers, who are business owners, basically just trying to help people be more successful, be more themselves. I mean, I think the idea of being able to focus on what you want and have a clear vision of your goals and dreams is helpful, whether you're an executive, whether you're a coach, whether you're a leader. So it works on a whole bunch of different levels. So yes, we'll work with people in a few different ways.
That's really cool. I'd love to try that method, experience it. I've had like this left shoulder has had continuous issues again and again and again over the years, which has told me is like there's something more there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's like whether it's a skiing accident that like tore a bunch of stuff, or then, you know, doing CrossFit for years and, you know, at times where it's really good, there's no pain, nothing. And then all of a sudden it's like I can't move my arm, you know, for months at a time. Just kind of recurring stuff. I've known, I'm like, it's not just, I know there's something deeper there, and you know, I haven't gotten to the bottom of it yet. And anyway, this sounds like something worth checking out to see.
Yeah. We'll talk after, but love to help with that and see if we can find a way.
That's really cool. And so this is your Advanced Coaching and Leadership Center. Like this is your organization, or what do you do with that?
I'm one of the coaches at the organization. So there's like three of us are kind of the main coaches, and then we have some other people there as well. Okay. So it's not my business, something I help out with. And then the clinic is kind of mine, but this is something I help out, support, and working with others on this project.
That's awesome. And then what's your website, and how can people get your book and get in touch with you?
Yeah. So the book is Timeless Youth. So you can find it at timelessyouthbook.com. So you can get in touch with me there. And then easy way to find me is on Instagram, which is just my name, Jeff Crippen. You got that right there. We have it in Spanish.
Like the infinity sign on the cover.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of cool. So we just launched it in Spanish last year, and the audiobook came out 2 days ago. So it's just available on audiobook from Audible and Amazon there. So a couple different ways, to get it that way.
And you have the Amazon in Spanish. I mean, you have the Spanish on Amazon as well?
Yep, Spanish. Yeah, and it's available through Amazon, available through Barnes and Noble, pretty much any way, anywhere books are sold. If you have a favorite local bookstore, they can order it if they don't have it in stock. So you can get it through a local bookstore, you can get it anywhere online as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
USyouthbook.com. Awesome, Jeff. Well, hey, man, it's been great. Great getting to know you a bit, and appreciate you coming on the podcast, man. You're incredibly knowledgeable, obviously, and been through a lot and helping a lot of people. So it's cool to get to know you and share a little bit about what you're doing with our audience. So thank you.
Yeah, awesome. And thanks for all the good work you're doing in the world, and great to connect, and always great to find aligned souls and spirits on a journey to help others. So much
Yeah.
love for what you're doing, and thanks for the invitation.
Awesome, brother. Appreciate it. Take care.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Nathan Crane podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and share this on social media. Then head over to nathancrane.com for your free ebook.
So when we're talking about, you know, what are these underlying causes and conditions of these chronic diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, they all have very similar, if not identical, causes. And that's the thing, is when we get to the root cause of these diseases, we can not only prevent these diseases from ever happening, but empower our bodies to heal from them.
In every one of our cells, we have tens and hundreds of thousands of chemical reactions that are happening every second that are cycling back and forth. It's like sort of a yin and yang.
And, you know, for me, the soul's purpose is evolution. It doesn't care about comfort. It cares about evolution. And so I think so long as we are following our soul, then we will evolve. And I think what sometimes blocks us from living our purpose, from manifesting that next level of our expression, is we have not evolved.
There is also a time for letting go all the expectations and relax and just breathe and be grateful for what you have achieved.